as we talk about Advent and this season of waiting. Advent, the word simply means coming, and we're talking about Jesus who came once already, but guess what? He is coming again. So we've already experienced the first coming. We're waiting for the second coming. And so we started doing our Advent candles. And so we lit the first one, and that's the candle of hope. We said we have hope because God is. God is. God is alive. God is God. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Then secondly, we talked the second candle of love. And we said we know that God loves us because He came to be with us. He came to be here, and we talked about that and what that means theologically, historically, practically. Last week, we lit the third candle. That's the candle of joy. And we said we have great joy because God is where? In us. He is in us. And we looked at that theologically, what union with Christ means. All that the Scripture says, all of the powerful truth about us being in Christ and Christ being in us and all of that. And then we also looked at some of the practical issues with that. Now, that left us with something because I think most of us don't understand what it means to have Christ in us, to have that resource of the living God being in us. And not just God the Son, but God the Father and God the Spirit all came to dwell in us. And so I need help. Do we have someone about 5 years old in here that has a driver's license? Do we have anybody? Do I see someone who can drive? Jeremiah, would you help me get that little car over here? By the way, this is my oldest son, Jeremiah. Thank you. He's kind of small, but we didn't, you know. Bring that little car. I need a 5-year-old, 4, 5, 6-year-old, somebody in that age range. Come on, someone. Anybody? Any children? Come on over. Come on over here, would you? Thank you. All right. Now, we need help because, well, those are cool boots. Come on over here. All right. Now, this is a car, right? Have you ever driven a car before?
I've been in one.
Oh, you've been in a car. Okay. Well, that's good enough. Okay, you've driven one of these? Okay, can you get inside the car? Don't worry, I cleaned it 3 months ago. It's fine. All right. So, I know it's a small car. No, so here's what she needs to do. This is a picture of the Christian life. She's come to believe in Jesus, and now she needs to make her trip toward being totally Christ-like, and that's over here. All right? And so, can you make the car go?
I can't.
What's the matter? Well, you got to get the car over there. What are you going to do? Oh, what are you going to do? Oh, look at that. Look at that. All right. Stop. Wow. That is very ingenious. Come back here. You're not done yet. Okay. Come over here. All right. So you showed us how to get from there to there. Okay. Can I tell you honestly, that's the way most of us live the Christian life. We come to Christ. Christ comes in us, we start facing challenges, we want to live the Christian life, and we do it in whose power? Our own. What was the problem? Why wouldn't the car go? Well, let me see. Well, there's a hood here. Oh, there's a power source, and tell me what's wrong. What's wrong here? It's not plugged in. Okay, so we got to plug into the power source, right? Oh, now let's try it again. Let's see what happens when there's a power source. Oh, please work. No, you got to drive it. Is it not working? It's not working? Uh-oh, let's try this. Okay, you got to be a good driver. You got to drive backwards. All right, get in there.
I like driving backwards.
Do you like driving backwards? Good, let's see you drive it. Okay. Whoa, good job. Oh, stop. Okay, stop. Thank you so much. Okay, wait, before you go. For helping me, you get to pick a prize, okay? Take one of those gifts home with you. Oh, there you go, just one. Okay, thank you so much. All right. You see what happened there? When you live like Christ is not in you, it's on your own power. But when you realize He's in you and there's nothing hindering that power, your relationship with Him is right, you can go and live a glorious life for His honor. Amen? So that's what we got to learn how to do. Now, that brings us to the fourth one, and that's the fourth candle. That's peace. And so here we have peace. Why do we have peace? Because we know that even though the whole world may be against us, even though the devil is against us, even though our own flesh, our own bodies, and sometimes our minds are against us living the Christian life for God's glory, God is what? For us. And this is powerful truth. And so I want to look at that with you. And for that, I need more help. So I need all the kids to come on up here. Could you? If you're a child who can walk up through, let's say, about fifth or sixth grade, come on up here. Sit on these steps, if you would. And all right. Okay, if you're gonna sit and face that way, I'm coming out here. All right. Okay, everything's fine. All right. All right. Do we have any Bibles? Can I borrow some Bibles here? I need some Bibles. Anybody got a Bible? I need a Bible. I need Bibles, lots of Bibles. Anybody got Bibles? Here, give me some Bibles. These kids need Bibles. All right, if you're gonna live the Christian life, you gotta have a Bible, right? Here's a Bible, Bible, Bible. I need more Bibles. Come on, give me some Bibles. Everybody got a Bible.
Stealing your Bible.
I am stealing Bibles. Everybody needs a Bible.
Make sure you know what those things
are. Well, wait. I guess you're going to have to wait till the service is over to get your Bible back. So, you already have one? Okay, give him another one. Who's got a Bible? If you can read, I need you to get a Bible. Can you read? You can read? Who else can read here? You can read? If you can't read, you don't need the Bible. I need you to help me with something.
I don't know if I can read.
You don't know if you can read? Come on. Can you read? Okay, now here's what I want you to do. We oftentimes, working with young people, love to do this thing called a sword drill. Do you ever do a sword drill? Oh, don't tell me you hate that. This is Christmas, okay? Sword drill, right? What is a sword drill? You hold your Bible up in the air, and then I'm going to give you a book of the Bible and a chapter, and the first one to open it to that gets a prize. Are you ready? Are you ready? Here we go. The first one is Romans chapter 8. Go! Somebody find Romans chapter 8. Can you get it? Who's there? First one to get it, let me know.
Found it.
Got it? All right. Good job, man. Pick out a prize. Okay. Oh, no. Okay, he's not sure yet. All right, now today you can win one prize, maybe more. We'll see. You can have the bag. Yeah. You can give that to your sister. That'll be beautiful. Okay. Just sit down. Romans chapter 8. What we want to talk about is the fact that God is for us, and Romans 8 tells us this, that God is for us eternally. We are eternally secure in Jesus Christ. So if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are guaranteed to get to heaven. And Romans 8 tells us that. It says in verse 28 through 30, we know that God causes how many things? All things to work together for good. Now, what is that good? He's going to define that good for us. His ultimate goal is to make us like who?
Jesus.
Great answer. That's what you always say when you're asked a question in Sunday school, right? The answer is always Jesus. So, Jesus, God wants us to be like Jesus. Are we there yet? No, we got a long way to go. But God guarantees he's going to get us there. So everything in our life, he brings into our life to make us more like Jesus. That's the ultimate good. And so he says, how do we know that? Because for those whom he foreknew, in eternity past he knew you, he predestined, he chose you to be conformed to the image of his son, to be like Jesus, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus would be number one in everybody's life. And that he would, those predestined, he would be called, and those who are called to be justified, and those who are justified to be glorified. Guess what? If you believe in Jesus, someday God's going to glorify you, guaranteed. Is that good news? You're going to be in heaven forever. because of God, because he's for you. That's fantastic news. So that's what we want to celebrate. Well, what does that mean when I'm having battles? Anybody here have people who battle against you because you say you're believing in Jesus? Anybody ever say, ah, Jesus stuff, that's not right? You know anybody like that? And they say, oh, come on, Jesus, that's silly. You know, we just evolved from monkeys and we're just here and all that kind of stuff. They don't believe that we were created by God and that he loves us, and they'll stand against you. So the Bible says that you are so secure, there is nobody that can take you away from God. You are secure from people. There is no person on this planet that can take you away from God. Amen? Let me hear amen from all you guys. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So there we have that truth. You are secure from people, from everybody. Bible says, what then shall we say to these things if, or literally since, God is what? For us. Who is against us? Is anybody stronger than God?
No.
So if God is there and he's defending you, can anybody take you away? No, they can't. God is for you. Nobody can be against you. Then he goes on and he says, and he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? What all things? All things necessary to get us to that finish line in heaven forever. Isn't that wonderful? God is going to walk you all the way into heaven, guaranteed. You say, what does that mean that if God gave his son, how would he not also give us other things? Well, I have an illustration for you. Brian, are you around? Come on up here, Brian. And Brian, I've asked to be my helper this morning. Brian's over at Christ Bible Church. Welcome, Brian. And his helper, Brian's soon-to-be son-in-law, all right? So what they have here is, you ready for this, guys? I'm going to give each of you $1 million. Is that cool? Yeah, man. I'm giving them a $1 million bill, all right? a $1 million bill. You say, is that really worth $1 million? Oh, it's worth way more than that. Why is that? Because on the back, it tells the story of Jesus and salvation. It's not a real $1 million bill, but it's a $1 million bill for the sake of that. And it'll tell you about how you can know Jesus and how he paid for your sins and how you can have forgiveness.
Do you have the money in your left hand?
Well, you just hold on there, young man.
I don't see a blue shrimp. Is it verified? This isn't verified.
So let me ask you a question. If I gave you a real $1 million, would I also be willing to give you a dollar? Why? Because I've already given you this huge amount. Certainly, I'd be willing to give you a little bit, right? If God gave Jesus to you, is he also willing to give you everything else you need to get through the Christian life and be in heaven forever? Answer me.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. So guess what? As you asked, I'm going to give every one of you a dollar bill. And this one's real. This one's real. Don't say Pastor Paul never gave you anything. All right? And I did not take this out of the offering. You guys like that? I want you to hang on to those and be reminded that because God gave you his son, he will give you anything and everything else you need to get through this Christian life and to be with him forever. So also the Bible says, we are eternally secure because of God. We're secure from people, and we are also secure from circumstances. It goes on to say, let's go on down a little bit further here. In verses 35 through 39, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? That's a whole bunch of different circumstances that are really hard. And someday, if you follow Jesus, it's going to be tough. There's going to be things against you. There's a devil out there who doesn't like you following Jesus. It's going to be hard. But guess what? God will always be for you. He'll always help you through. You'll be able to get through all the way to the finish line because of his love and his grace toward you. Another verse says that, go on down to verse 38. I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor what? Nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. By the way, that even includes you. We'll be able to separate us from the what? The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing will ever make God stop loving you, and he will love you all the way to heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, so that's the exposition of Romans, just real quickly. Now, I want to talk to you because sometimes as kids we talk over your heads and we say things you don't know what we're talking about. So we need to make this practical. What does it really mean that God is for you? Well, let's talk about that. The word for means that he's on your side. He's behind you. He's supporting you. He's going to go there with you. So let's now do another sword drill. Swords up. Swords up. Ready? Daniel chapter 3. Go. Daniel, it's in the Old Testament. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Daniel 3. You got it? All right, Daniel chapter 3. All right, come on, buddy, go pick a prize. All right, Daniel 3, good job. What happens in Daniel chapter 3? The story of the fiery furnace. Remember those three guys there? My shack, your shack, and a bungalow? Remember those guys? All right. And those three guys get in trouble because they refuse to bow down to an idol. Are idols good? No, idols are bad because they're phony. They can't help you. Only God can really help you the way God promises. Idols can't help. So this king wanted them to bow down to an idol. And they realized this powerful truth that even though the king was the mightiest man on earth, God was mightier. And so they say in here, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, if you throw us into that fiery furnace, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. Is God able?
Yes.
Does he have to?
No.
No. And that's what they understood. They knew that tribulation and distress and peril and death might be their lot for following God. But they said, but even if he does not, even if God doesn't deliver us from the fire, we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image you've set up. Wow. That takes courage, doesn't it? To resist the king of the earth? Why did they do that? Because they knew God was King of kings and Lord of lords. And so they stood up against him. And then after, let me have three of you. Are there three of you that can come up here for a moment? Just three, real quick. Three of you, come on up here. One, two. Oh, did you already get a prize? Oh, you can't come up here again. All right, one, two. Oh, these three. All right, gotcha. All right, so imagine these guys are inside the fiery furnace. There's flames all around, and there's fire, and oh, but what happens? All of a sudden, the text says, one like the Son of God, or Son of the Pastor, whichever works. Son of God came in and was walking with them in the fire, and they were all safe, and they're even the cords they tied their hands together were burnt off, but there wasn't even a smell of smoke on them. Why? Because God was for them. All right, you guys go pick a prize. Thank you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So, oh, swords up. Swords up. You ready for this one? Exodus 14. Genesis. Exodus, second book in the Bible. Exodus 14.
Found it.
Oh, he got it over here first, I guess. Maybe. Close enough. Exodus 14, he got it. All right, you get a prize. Pick a prize, pick a prize. There's all kinds of fun stuff there. What happens in Exodus 14? The children of Israel are in a country called Egypt, and God wants to set them free. So what does God do? God goes in and sends Moses. He delivers them. He brings them out. But they come up against a gigantic body of water. What's it called? The Red Sea. And they get there to the Red Sea, and all of a sudden, Pharaoh changes his mind, and he sends his army after them, and they're trapped. And there's no way out. It's absolutely impossible. There's no way for them to get through except God. And God says to Moses, do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. Who will fight for you? The Lord. While you do what? Keep silent. God's going to intervene. Kids, God will do that for you your whole life. If you know and love Jesus, if he's the Lord of your life, he will fight battles for you. He will work in you and through you and protect you and guide you and strengthen you, just as he did the children of Israel and got them through safely to the other side. And did God do that? Yes, he did. How did he get them across the sea? What did God do? What happened? Moses put his rod down, and what happened? The water split apart, and they walked across. And then when the Pharaoh's army tried to go through, they got really wet, didn't they? Yeah. Hey, welcome back, dude. All right. Sword drill. Swords up. Why do we call this a sword drill? Because the Bible is the sword of the Spirit, right? So sword drill. One more. Daniel chapter 6. Oh, you should have kept your finger back in Daniel 3. Ethan, you like that money, don't you, bud? All right, Daniel chapter 3. Who's got it? All right, good job. She got it first. Daniel, or John chapter 6. Okay, what's the story? Go get your prize. What's in Daniel chapter 6? Daniel and the lion's den. Lion's den. What happened? Some people didn't like Daniel. They were against him, and they lied, and they manipulated the king, and they got him to create a law that wasn't good. And so all of a sudden, if Daniel makes a stand, and if he does the right thing, he's going to be in trouble. But he did the right thing anyway. And guess what? Do you know how old Daniel was when this happened? Guess how old Daniel was?
16.
16. It's a good guess.
600
would be a little bit older.
120.
Daniel was about 80. Do we have any 80-year-olds in here? Let me see. Anybody 80 or older? Okay, could you imagine if all of a sudden you're going to get thrown into a lion's den? Does that sound appealing? This is not a kid. This is a man who'd been serving in the kingdoms, three different kingdoms, for 67 years by the time this happens. He's probably 82 or 83 years old, and he gets thrown in the lion's den. But what happened? The passage tells us that while he was in the lion's den, and the king didn't want to do it, but he made a law, he had to, and God sent an angel. Why? Because God was for Daniel. Does God protect his children? Yes, he does. Will God protect you guys? Absolutely. So let me just help you think through this for a moment. There's a real war we're in with an enemy, and we're in a spiritual tug of war. So I need one person to come over here to represent being a follower of Jesus. You'll be the follower of Jesus? Okay. You come on over here. And then stand over on this side. Or actually, go over on this side. It'd be easier. And we have a tug-of-war rope here. So if you'll take that side. Now, I need three big kids. Three big kids. All right. Three big kids. Okay. All right. So what we need to do here is have a tug of war. Pull that tight. Okay. So what we're going to do is have a tug of war, and it's them against her. All right? Because honestly, are we as Christians outnumbered oftentimes by unbelievers in the world? And the pressure and the pull is pretty severe. So, okay, when I say go, go. Ready? Go. Okay. You guys win. Okay. You got it far enough. Come back here. Come back here, you crazy kids. Okay, let go. All right. Let's try this again. Get over there, guys. Try this again. Scoot over there a little bit further. Pull the rope back, somebody. Okay, let's imagine now God is what? For her. Who's in her? God. So let's do this. Let's have God the Son help out. And then I got another idea. Let's have God the Holy Spirit join in. Let me see. We need one more, don't we?
No.
Son,
no.
Spirit, and?
No.
Let's have God the Father come on in.
I'll have the heavenly kids come on.
Okay. Okay, you guys ready? Let's try this again. Go. Guess what? Come over here. You won. Good job. That's what happens when you allow God's power to work through your life. You can stand up against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen? What a great, thank you so much for your help. Get a prize. So, guys, sit down just for one more moment. We're almost done. Almost done. What's the conclusion? We have hope because God is. He's there, and He'll always be there. We have love, and we know love because God sent His Son to be with us, and God loves us. He wants to have fellowship with us. We have joy because God's in us, and the power of the Holy Spirit is unbelievable. And we have peace, even in a crazy world, because God is for us. Isn't that great news? But I want to tell you something, because I think most people fail to understand this story, because a lot of people, maybe even some here today, have the idea that somehow, can I come up there for a moment? I need to get up so everybody else can see this too. You guys might have to just turn around a little bit. People sometimes think that they get to heaven by being good. And so if you set the standard too high, you tell them that what good really is, then they say, well, I'm better than somebody else. It's usually somebody really bad. So I want to tell you what the Bible really says. And I have these three pieces of rope. You see these? Are they all different lengths? Okay, is there any trick here? All right, I want you to watch this because my hand will never leave my wrist. All right? This is a little tiny rope, short rope, and this represents good boy George. Good boy George is always good. He's always trying. He goes to Sunday school. He prays. He does all this stuff. He's really trying to live a good life, and he only has a short list of sins. And then there's middle of the road Mary. And Mary, of course, she's not quite as good as good boy George, but she tries, and she's not a bad kid, really. And then there's nasty Ned. Oh, nasty Ned just does bad stuff all the time, and the kid is just constantly in trouble. And so here's the thing. We often think that the person with the shorter number of sins is going to go to heaven, and the person with the long number of sins is going to go to... But that's not true. See, what the Bible says is that all of us have what? All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible even says in James chapter 2, verse 10, that if you kept all of God's laws and sinned in one point, you'd be guilty of all of them. And so what I say happens is you've got the short, medium, and long list of sins, right? And what happens is God just puts them all in His hands. And so He takes and He blends all these sins up in His hands, these different people, and He takes them, and they're still different lengths, right? And so in our minds, they're different kinds of sin, different lengths of sin, good kids, bad kids. But in God's mind, they're all what? They're all the same length. Well, you say, wait a minute, no, they're not. Yeah, they are. They're all three the same length, right? So you do that because our perspective is not right. So you might appear to have a long list of sins. You might appear to have a short list of sins. You might appear to have a medium length list of sins. But guess what? We're all sinners. And the wages of sin is death. And if you have any sin at all and stand before God, you don't go to heaven. Is there an answer? Yeah. Jesus came. And Jesus came to live the sinless life you can't. And He suffered and died on the cross so that you could be forgiven. And if you know Jesus, if you ask Jesus to come in and be the Lord of your life, you turn from your sin and you receive Him as Lord and Savior, He will come in and all your sins will be forgiven. And God will see you as if you were Jesus, sinless forever. Is that good news?
Yes.
That's the best news of all. And that's what Christmas is all about. Jesus came because He loves you, and He wants you to be with Him forever. So if you'll trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, you will have eternal life. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Now I'm going to release you guys back to your parents. Please find the right ones. Just leave the Bibles up here, and we'll see if people really want them, okay? Thank you so much. Don't forget your money. It's real. Can you can switch that chair if you want something else. Yeah, here. Thanks, man. Say, well, let me just wrap up a couple more thoughts, and we'll have a closing song. And is that what Christmas is all about? Advent. Jesus coming. Why? that he might become the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Do you know him today? I hope you're not just trying to be good, thinking that being good boy George will get you there. And I hope you're not thinking, well, I'm middle of the road Mary, I'm not as bad as Ned. And I hope you're not Ned who just said, I've been so bad I give up. I hope you understand God wants to come in and change you from the inside out and give you new life and empower you to live the Christian life and someday walk with him right into his eternal kingdom. That's the greatest gift of all. Have you received that gift? You don't have to earn it. You don't have to deserve it. You just receive it. And you could just pray something simple like, God, I understand now that I'm a sinner. And it doesn't matter how many sins I've committed. If I've committed one, that's all it takes. But I also understand you sent your son. And he lived the perfect life I couldn't live. And he went to the cross for me. And my sins were transferred to him, and his righteousness was transferred to me. So I believe that, and right now, God, I ask you to take over my life. I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. And if you say that to God, guess what? He'll do it. Why? He loves you, he sent his son for you, and he wants you to be with him forever. That's Christmas. Amen? Well, I'm going to pray. And then our men are going to come wait upon us, and it's our time for our offering. It's our last Sunday in 2016. We'll have special, these plates will be passed. Please put your connection card in there, especially if you're new. If you're a person visiting, don't feel obligated to give anything. We're just glad you came. We hope you'll want to come back. I don't do this every Sunday, but we do study God's Word every week and hope you'll want to come back with us. Let me pray, and then our men will wait upon us. Heavenly